Thank you. We'll have we'll go alphabetically on our missionaries. That way they know how they're coming. And so alphabetically, I think it would be Michael and Nancy. There they are.
M before N, I guess, right? Like I said this morning, it's been really great to be here this weekend and get to know a lot of you over food and times of fellowship. And it's nice to have this chance to tell a little bit more about myself and how the Lord has worked in my life through the years. I was privileged to grow up in a Christian home. My parents got saved a few years before they got married. They both came from Catholic backgrounds, and even as new Christians, they were very committed in their faith. They strove to raise us kids after what the Lord had taught them and live it out in their lives, not just through their words. And I remember one day when I was about 4 or 5, it had been a long day. I'd been disobeying a lot. All those of you who are ever kids or parents know what I'm talking about. And I'd received a lot of punishments for my disobedience, as was proper. And so at the end of that long day, I was tired, my parents were tired, and almost in tears, I asked my dad at one point, "Why am I so bad?" And it's easy as parents at the end of a long day to kind of brush those things off or treat them lightly. Say, "We'll talk about it another time when you're not quite so tired." But I'm thankful that my dad didn't do that. He took it seriously, and he brought me to the Word, and he didn't even tell me, "You're not bad. We know you're trying." He told me, "Yes, you are bad." That kind of goes against most modern psychology. He said, "Yes, you are bad. That's what the Bible teaches. Everyone is bad. Everyone is sinful before the Lord, and we can't do anything about it. Not only are we sinful, but we're hopeless before him too." But fortunately, the Bible doesn't stop there. God's plan didn't stop there. He sent Jesus to die for us, to die for our sins, for my sins. He took my place on the cross. And as my dad explained that to me, he led me in prayer, and I gave my life to the Lord at that point. And as a young child, you don't understand everything about the gospel. I mean, sometimes even as adults, we don't understand everything about the gospel. But the Lord continued to work in my life from that point on, using my parents again, their example to me, and how they lived out things, not just told me the truth of God, but lived it out. And when I was 8, they followed the leading of the Lord to go overseas to missions, to Guinea, West Africa. And that really made an impact in my life growing up, seeing the Lord provide, seeing how he was faithful time and time again, how my parents trusted him, and how he never let them down, even good times and bad. And as I grew older and wondered what I could do with my life, you always have these ideas. It starts off as a kid. You want to be either an astronaut or a police officer or a firefighter or maybe a cowboy, right? Especially for boys. And as I grew older, those things kind of matured along with my understanding of the world. And in my teen years, I still wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to do something worthwhile with my life. I wanted to make sure that it counted, that it wasn't just a pursuit of happiness, but a pursuit of something that would last for eternity. And as I was thinking about those things and, still immature, you're a teenager, you don't know a whole lot about the world yet, but I knew that the things that the Lord had shown me by being raised on the mission field, the needs that I saw there, the people who lived and died without the Lord, without any knowledge of the gospel, and the fact that so few people were willing to do something about it, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. The Lord would not let me ignore it. And so as I graduated, I went to New Tribes Bible Institute, met my wife there, we got married, and the Lord had been working in her heart for missions as well, and kept continuing to direct us towards Guinea. So that's kind of a quick version of the road that got me here. Maybe I'll leave you with a couple challenges from things that I've seen along that road. And one of them is, parents, live out your faith. Don't just use the words, but show your children that God is the most important to you by the things that you choose on a daily basis. Are you going to choose to honor God or honor something else in your home? It's easy to say the words, but when it comes down to it, things that speak loudest in families, I think, sometimes are the decisions that children see the parents making time and time again. I know that I'm not perfect in that regard, but that's something that I strive to do, is be consistent for what I do to what I say. And also just that, the second challenge here, this will be my last thing, I promise. Serving God and following Him may not always be the easy thing to do. I was pretty shy growing up. I know some of you guys, one of the groups, we talked about that a little bit yesterday morning. I wasn't very outgoing. A lot of times people think that introverts are the same thing as sociopaths. They don't like people. That's not true. Introverts like people too. We just have to work a little harder to make ourselves get out there to say hi to them sometimes. If you had ever asked me if I wanted to be in this situation tonight, speaking in front of a crowd of people that I only knew for a couple days, never. That's not what I would want. But the Lord used something in my life. I had to give a speech for my graduation in high school. And, of course, you know I wasn't excited about that. Giving a speech in front of this crowd of people, some of them I knew, like maybe this little bench was my family. Everybody else in the auditorium was a stranger to me. One of my friends in high school gave me this advice that has really stuck with me ever since. Don't think of it as you have to give a speech. Think of it as you get the opportunity to be the mouthpiece for God. You get to give God's message to these people. And through that experience, kind of being brought up short in what I came to realize was my own pride, not wanting to put myself out and be thought badly of by people. Sometimes what we think of as humility really is pride, being afraid of man. And so just because something is uncomfortable, something is hard to do, doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to do it. God uses us in our weaknesses and through those things. His strength is sufficient. His grace is there for us. So that's what I'd like to leave you with. And Nancy?
I was told 5 to 10 minutes, but there's no clock in here. And if anybody's talked to me at all this weekend, you know that I'm the talker of the two of us. So I will try to keep it short. I was thinking, as we were being first, my maiden name was Nancy Ralston. And one of the perks of marrying a door is I got to move up on the alphabetical food chain. So, yes. Dan wanted me to focus on my salvation, but I told him I got saved when I was little. There's really nothing that I can say. My parents, my dad's a pastor and has been my whole life. And so I was about 6 when I got saved. Very similar to Michael. I feel like this is what I remember. My mom remembers it slightly differently. But we had a meeting at church, and the pastor, the speaker that night, had been talking about hell. And so I was, you know, scared and wanted to know more about it. My mom says I just didn't want to go to sleep, but potato, potato. So about 6, I got saved. Again, growing up as a PK, I'm sure some of you guys can relate, especially you guys in the front few rows. Sometimes there's a lot of pressures on you to be perfect and act perfect and, you know, you should know better. And I find myself saying that to my kids all the time, you know. But around 12, I really started to doubt that I had truly become saved. And a dear lady in our church took me in a side room and she's like, Nancy, do you see any growth? I mean, you know, she's like, look at your life. She's like, you know, let's look at the scripture and look at your life. You see growth, right? Yeah, I see growth. Okay, then you're saved. You know, you're secure. You don't lose your salvation if you see growth. And so I guess spiritually that would be another point in my life, you know, that I just almost remember more so than my salvation. When I was a junior in high school, I went to a Christian school through our church, and we had this speaker come to our chapel, and he was going to be leading a mission trip, and he was going to be going to Bolivia, South America. And so that struck a chord with me. I thought, hey, that'd be fun. And I'll tell you, it was not for the right reasons at all. I wanted to be the first person in my school to go overseas. Plain and simple, that's why I wanted to go on this short-term mission trip. Not a godly reason whatsoever, okay? So I signed up, I'm raising money, and about 2 weeks before I was supposed to go, our church had their missions conference. And I can remember driving to that, being a PK, kind of you get tired of doing all the church things, you know? I really wasn't in the right place in high school. Went to this missions conference and just really felt God saying, you signed up for this for the wrong reason. And I pulled over, driving home that night, pulled over in the dark and just said, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I'm making a sham out of this trip and how you could use me, and please use me regardless of why I signed up. I went on this trip to South America. Very, very primitive. We were in the Yuki tribe. We had to be flown in. We bathed in the river. We did our laundry in the river. We didn't get to eat very much. How many of you guys know Levi Lenz? He was on that trip with us. He lost belt sizes, okay? He doesn't have any belt sizes to lose, but he did. Faith Stokes was also on that trip, and Dan and Kathy are the ones who led it. Oh. I'm so thankful for them. It's awful. If you wouldn't have come to our school, I wouldn't have known about New Tribes. And because of him and this trip, God opened my eyes to missions. We came back, and I wasn't necessarily knowing that missions was for me, but I definitely was aware of it, even more so than being a PK. Started my senior year of high school, and I did not know if missions was for me. I really was up in the air at that point. I thought I had my life, you know, planned out, and the Bolivia trip really threw me off. So I went to, my parents took me to Pensacola and Bob Jones, and we were talking about Northland, and I just didn't want to kind of waste my time pursuing something that I didn't necessarily feel was 100% for me. So in February, we visited Jackson. And I thought, well, why not? You know, can't go wrong spending 2 years studying the Bible, which is true. So we signed up for me to start that fall of 2000 in Jackson. And Dan again visited and was like, hey, going to Brazil this year. What are you doing this summer? I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go with. So I went to Brazil and was completely different trip the second time. The first time was very primitive. Second time in Brazil, we actually helped at the training center for Brazilian missionaries through New Tribes. So we had running water, we had showers, we had, oh, I don't know, we visited a lot of other things. We could play and have a lot more fun. But we did something semi-illegally, and we went in the back of a truck into Paraguay, and we visited a tribe there. And Dan's really good at pushing people into the tribe and just really putting it where it needs to be. And we went to church service there. We were only there for the weekend. But I'll never forget that service. We just had a roof. There's no walls, and there's poles, and we sat on hard benches, and the believers gave their testimonies or translated over. We would give our testimonies and translate it over. I can't really tell you much more, except I've never felt anything so sure in my life that God was impressing on me that tribal missions is what he had for me. I was very thankful to see his hand in that, I came back, and just a few weeks later, I started Bible school, and I met Michael, and just continued our paths. I know this isn't my testimony, but we'll skip forward 12 years. And this summer, we got to witness the most beautiful thing a parent can witness. Our oldest got baptized, and that was just a real big blessing to us. So thank you.
Alphabetically, it's me. Good evening. First, thank you for having the conference, and thank you for having me and Friends of Israel here. We appreciate it. What I'd like to do in my time is just three things. I want to share my testimony, both in how I got saved and called to the work of Jewish evangelism, but I would love to share with you in this church, especially after the previous testimony about Youth Fest. I am among friends, so if I ask you the question, would you agree that there is a crisis in world missions, that we're seeing missionaries come back from the field and no one's going to go and take their place? Who is going to do that? How do we pass the baton of missions to the next generation? I was born and raised in a Christian home, so by the time Tim came along in the Munger household, my mom and dad had come to know Christ. My siblings, my sisters, they can tell you of the time that my mom and dad were not saved. But by the time I came along, mom and dad had come to know Christ. They were taking us to church, and so I was in church more than the average child. Every time the doors were open, we were there. Two verses in the book of Romans have become very meaningful to me. One is Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so as I was being raised in the church, the importance of reading the Word of God and memorizing the Word of God was very, very prominent. I read Scripture, I memorized Scripture, but if you would have asked me if I were saved, I even knew the term, and I would have said, yes, I'm saved. Very much like Brother Dorr. I was giving my mom fits one night. My sister and I had chicken pox at the same time. And so it was a Friday night, and my mom was fit to be tied, and she put us both on our knees. And that night, I prayed to receive Christ. But God didn't see it that way. Because Mom and Dad took us to church one Sunday night, there was someone who had responded to the gospel invitation. And the pastor said, "Why don't you come and pray with these who have come forward?" And so our family went and prayed. And during that prayer time, while I was kneeling, the Holy Spirit spoke to Tim's heart and simply said, "Tim, I want you to preach. I want you to preach." 12 years old. 2 years later, in our church, a pastor came from Indiana. Pastor Bob Neal came from a Free Methodist church in Indiana, held youth revival, and there during the youth revival in the Davison Free Methodist Church, on that Friday night, as I said in my message on Friday, I didn't want to be there. Davison was tied with Beecher, and we were playing Beecher that very night, and so I really wanted to be at the gym. But I was in church, and so I went through the service, listened to the pastor, and it was almost over. And the pastor gave his invitation. "I want you to look at your heart like a picture window, and God is looking inside. What does he see?" And so I said, "Lord, what do you see?" He showed Tim that he was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Showed me that I was a sinner, that if I would have died that night, I was separated from God. I was hopeless, I was helpless, I was homeless. I was undone. I didn't want to be the first one to the altar that night, but I was the second. And that night I asked Jesus Christ at that altar, I confessed my sin, I confessed that my need of him, and I asked him to come into my life and be my Savior. Folks, he came in, changed my heart. I can remember that night as though it was yesterday. The joy that Peter writes about, full of glory, unspeakable and full of glory, was mine. The lady giving her testimony was taking far too long. The joy was bubbling up so much, I bear you witness tonight, that if she had not stopped when she did, I would have had to interrupt her and say, "Ma'am, I'm not used to doing this, but I can't keep it quiet. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory." And so that night is when I point to, is when I became a believer in Jesus Christ. Went through my ministry. God had called me to preach. God had called us. God had saved me. And my goal was to become a pastor. And went through school and got involved with InterVarsity. And I was listening to Billy Graham one night, and he mentioned young people preparing for the ministry all over America in Bible colleges and Bible institutes. And I said, "That's what I want. I really want to be prepared." I'd been 2.5 years at the University of Michigan at Flint. And now it was time. I wanted to get trained in the ministry. And so I began to seek God's direction. "Lord, would you open the door to go to school?" And God opened the school for me. It was Grand Rapids School of the Bible and Music. And there I met my wife. And I graduated, no, they released me in 1977. We got married in 78. I began to prepare for ordination, my home church, Calvary Bible Church in Lapeer. And those men that night laid their hands on me and sent me out into the ministry, February 15th, 1978. Shortly after that, I began pastoring the church my wife was raised in. Never thinking that I was going to be a missionary. I thought that I was going to be a pastor my whole life. And David Levy of Friends of Israel said, "Pastor, how about a Bible prophecy, Jewish evangelism seminar?" And Romans 10:14, when I invited David to come, Romans 10:14 was the verse that God had for me. Folks, I cannot point to a verse that God used to call me to the pastorate, but I can point you to verses that God has used to put us into Jewish evangelism and to keep us in Jewish evangelism. I can point you to very definite passages of Scripture, and here is the one that God has used. Romans 10:14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And dear ones, the context of that goes all the way back to Romans 10:1. "Brethren, my heart's prayer and desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And all through that Romans 10, it goes back to verse 1. The "they" of Romans 10:14 is the Jewish people. Yes, God wants the entire world saved, but the context. And God used that verse. Folks, it's as if he put it in neon lights for me. And I said to David after the conference, "David, does God want us in Jewish missions?" And he said, "Let's wait and see, Tim." And so for the next 8 years, God brought Jewish people across our way in the most amazing ways. And what God was doing was answering my prayer. Lord, if you want us in Jewish missions, lead us to Jewish people. And folks, God hasn't quit leading us to Jewish people since 1979. In the most amazing ways, God has led us to Jewish people. And so through his word and through daily life experience, God has confirmed for us that he wants us in the ministry. And so it was my heart's burden and passion. How do we pass the baton of missions to the next generation? How do we pass it to them? Dear ones, I believe in the power of missionary conferences. I know their power because God used a missionary conference in our heart and life to call us to missions. And so I approached the Friends of Israel. And I said, look, why don't we design a youth conference, a missions conference with youth in mind? And let's bring missionaries and teenagers together. And let's pass on the baton to them. And so the mission gave us permission. And so Youth Fest was born. And so for the past, this will be our sixth year for Youth Fest. And for the first time, it's not going to be held at Go Lake, but up at Timberwolf Lake in Lake City. And I would love to see some of you teenagers join us. Come to Youth Fest. Give us 2 days, December 27 to 29. Dan and Kathy will be with us. You've heard the impact they've made. They've made impact at Youth Fest. We have Dan and Kathy coming with New Tribes. We have New Tribes Bible Institute who will be with us. And by the way, God has opened New Tribes Bible Institute where we're holding a prayer group for Israel at New Tribes Bible Institute in Jackson. Monthly. Where they're praying for Israel. I tell them it's the original New Tribes mission. 12 tribes of Israel. It's the original New Tribes mission. Now, at Youth Fest, we invite you to come. We encourage you to come. And God is using Youth Fest. Just this year, Youth Fest had its first alumni go to the mission field. We had a young lady who attended our very first Youth Fest 6 years ago. And she points at that Youth Fest, which was the smallest. We had 10 who came. And God planted the seed of missions in her heart at that time. Now this time, in January of 2012, she headed to China. So we've had our first alumni go to the mission field. And so we're having young people go to Bible institutes and colleges out of Youth Fest. And so whatever God wants to bring out of it, that's what we want. But we'd love to have you send your young people. It's not for everybody. It's designed for ministry. Because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we believe that missions is important. The ministry is important. Yes, we hope you'll find a satisfying life career. But why not combine what we heard tonight? Why not combine a satisfying career with serving the Lord Jesus Christ and making your life count for eternity and serving him? Thanks for the privilege of being with you tonight and sharing my heart.
My story starts out with my dad had a dream. Doesn't that sound like a good story starter? Anyway, when I was very young, we attended church, but we went to the wrong church. It did not teach us anything of value, and my parents were unsatisfied with it. But my dad had this dream. His dream was he wanted to farm. He wanted to own a farm. He wanted to farm. And so when I was five, almost six, that's what kids would say, I'm almost six, right? We moved to a farm. And just down the road from our farm, probably about a city's block distance from where our farm was, there was this little church. And when we were moving in, the pastor came and he helped us move in. And of course, he invited us to visit their church. And I imagine my parents, I don't know exactly what they said, but I imagine they were polite and said, oh yeah, we'll probably try it sometime. You know, it's just down the road, it's convenient. And we'd always gone to church, so. But that first Sunday we were there, my dad had to dig a drainage ditch because we had a restroom that was all set up in the house, but there was no drainage ditch, so we were still using the outhouse, which just wasn't satisfactory. So my dad stayed home to dig the drainage ditch that Sunday, and we all stayed home. Well, the next day, Dad had to go back to work in Lansing, and right after he left, the pastor from that little church came over to our house, and he wasn't dressed like a pastor. He was dressed in his coveralls, you know, and he had his shovel. And he went out, and he dug in that drainage ditch all day while Dad was at work. Well, when Dad got home that night, he said, if he thinks that much about us, if he cares that much for people, I want to go hear what he has to say. So the next Sunday, we went to this little country church, and for the first time, we heard the gospel. And Mom and Dad went forward the first Sunday, the first time we were there, and both of them trusted in the Lord. Now, I was still very young, and I was learning a lot of things in Sunday school and stuff, and our family was really changing. I mean, we were talking about things we'd never talked about before at home, you know. Would the Lord want us to do this? Oh, the Lord wouldn't want us to do that. You know, these kinds of conversations we'd never had before because there wasn't any reason to have them before. And I loved Sunday school. I loved the stories, the Bible stories, and you all love them too probably. But, you know, there was a disconnect here because I would hear the Bible story, I would enjoy the Bible story, but when it got to the application, I tuned out. I was not putting everything together. I was learning a lot of things, but I wasn't putting everything together yet. And so a little more than a year went by. I was 7 now. And one Sunday night, I think it was a Sunday night, I'm not real positive, the day of the week. It was in the fall. I was 7, I remember that. I was getting ready for bed. And my sister Kathy, who you all know, came into the bedroom and she said to me something like, Debbie, have you made a decision? Have you decided to trust the Lord as your Savior yet? I don't remember her exact words, but it was something like that. And it's like that light bulb just went off in my head. And it's like I put it together. Right at that moment, it came together and I understood. This was not something that I could just trust in Mom and Dad for, you know. It was a decision I had to make myself. I had to make the choice whether I believed, whether I was going to trust him to be my Savior. And so we talked and I prayed and I don't remember a thing that was said. But I do know that that night I made that choice to believe. And from that time, I was still very young, you know, so I don't remember great big huge changes in my life, but I do remember this, that when I was listening in Sunday school to the Bible stories, the application hit me right between the eyes now. I couldn't tune it out anymore. So the Holy Spirit was teaching me things. One particular time I remember, the lesson was about lying. I don't know what the story was, but I know she talked about lying, and I was a very accomplished liar at that time, like most kids are, I'm afraid, and when they're young. And I had on my mind this one lie I had told just a couple days before to my best friend. And this really bothered me, you know. And so I went to her. I just couldn't wait to go to her the first time I saw her and tell her that I had lied to her and I was sorry, and would she forgive me? Of course, she said, oh, I didn't believe you anyway. But anyway, that's how that happened. But later in my life, like it's already been said once or twice here tonight, you know, because I was saved when I was young, there were times of doubt because I thought, boy, I didn't understand that when I got saved. Could it have been real? But then I'd remember all the things the Lord had been teaching me, and I knew the Holy Spirit would not be teaching me those things unless I had already trusted him as Savior. It was the growth in my life. It's what we should expect to happen as we get older and grow. We should expect to understand more things. Well, because I was saved as a child, I always felt that the Lord wanted me to work with children. That was what was on my heart. And so here I am working with RBM Ministries, which is a ministry I really love. I really love getting into the public schools and being able to minister to kids who have no other opportunity to hear the gospel. That's a real blessing to me. And I have enjoyed this week being able to be with your kids here. And so I've been given permission to pick on them tonight. Because I know you'd like to see something they did tonight, this week, right? So I want all the kids to come up, and we're going to sing a song.
Nancy, I understand about being in the alphabetical bottom line. Have you guys ever watched the sunrise? Like from the very start to the very end? And how when the sun rises, you start to see really dim outlines of things. And it's kind of gray and fuzzy, and slowly, slowly, without even maybe even realizing it, all of a sudden you realize that you can actually see what's around you and that the sun has actually come up and there's light. Well, I think for me that's kind of like my salvation experience. I can't really think of one specific day where I had this light bulb moment and I understood about salvation. I remember a few specific moments. I remember being a kid. I have no idea how old I was, 5, 6, who knows. I remember realizing that everyone else in my family was a believer and they were going to heaven. And if I wasn't a believer, I would go where? Yeah, I didn't want to go to hell. And so my understanding was so small. It was so little. It was just that if I don't believe in Jesus, I'll go to hell. And everyone else in my family is going to heaven, and I don't want to be left behind. So I'd better believe in Jesus. Clearly, I didn't really have a great understanding of what it meant to become a Christian. And I remember being in middle school and high school and being involved in youth groups and getting a little bit more understanding and going on a couple mission trips when I was in high school, and my understanding would grow and I'd understand a little bit more about having a personal relationship with God. And I think that maybe one of the biggest moments in my understanding came when I was in Bible school. Right after high school, I decided that I wanted to go to Bible school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I wasn't really sure about college. I couldn't decide on a major, so I decided I would go to Bible school, and I went to a one-year Bible college in England. It was a New Tribes Bible School, a little bit shorter than the program in Jackson. And I remember sitting in class and being taught about the doctrine of sin. And I think I was 18, 19 years old. I think I finally started, you know, like you could really see the light at that point, and I could really understand what was going on in my own life and understand actually far better what Christ had done for me in dying on the cross. So I just wanted to share just a couple verses with you that maybe sum up my they sum up a little bit of what I began to understand and have made a great impact on me in my life. From Romans 5, it says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" And I think for me, one of the most impactful moments in my life was sitting in a class and finally coming to an understanding of how very sinful I am, and understanding that it's not just that I sin, it's that I'm completely full of sin. And being full of sin, I'm God's enemy. And as God's enemy, he sent his son to die for me. And he was willing to sacrifice his son, his very essence in human form, come to earth for his enemies. That's just incredible to me. It's still incredible to me. It continues to amaze me. I think about my journey to get to this place as a person who works overseas in a ministry context. I really think a lot about God opening up doors and either me walking through them or being pushed through them, one door at a time. I don't think God shows us his whole plan for us, you know, in this one moment. He sends us a little memo that says, you're going to do this, and then this, and then this, and then this, because it would be overwhelming, right? We wouldn't be able to handle that. So I graduated from Bible college with a whole lot more understanding than when I went in, and from that point, God opened the door for me to go to college in Florida and get a teaching degree. And from there, he opened up the door for me to stay and teach in St. Pete, Florida for a couple years. And from there, he opened up the door for me to continue on to have training to go into ministry full time. And when I was about at the end of my training, I took a linguistics course and was thinking about, okay, Lord, I'm about done with the training. Where am I going to go next? What's the next step? At that point, the Lord opened up the door just through people I met to head into a closed area. And he's just been so faithful. Being overseas just over 2 years now, he opened up the door for me to go into a place where a lot of people don't get to go, and where it's not necessarily easy to get a visa to stay. And he continues to be faithful. So maybe, I don't know if I have a real specific challenge for you, but just in my own life, it's been it's been amazing to see how God opens up a door that you didn't think was going to be open, and he allows you to walk through it and just kind of going along with what he has for you. To not be afraid of walking through a new door, to do something new, to maybe change from what you're doing. If God is directing you into something new, he'll open up the doors at just the right time, just like he sent his son at just the right time for us. I think that's it. I think that's you. I think we're out of names, so.